us to the days of King David. At that time, the king had sinned, and the prophet Nathan went to talk to him. All in all, this was midnight in King David's life. And at that moment, there came a moment that he knew deep inside that he could no longer live a lie. So finally, he came to the moment where he actually broke down before God. In Psalm 51, his confession. And the one phrase that struck me deeply was when he said, God, what you're after is truth from the inside out. Our theme today. Truth from the inside out. Psalm 51, verse 1. Generous in love, God, give grace. Huge in mercy, wipe out my bad record. Scrub away my guilt. Soak out my sins in your laundry. I know how bad I've been. My sins are staring me down. You're the one I violated, and you've seen it all, seen the full extent of my evil. You have all the facts before you. Whatever you decide about me is fair. I've been out of step with you for a long time, in the wrong since before I was born. What you're after is truth from the inside out. Enter me then. Conceive a new, true life. Soak me in your laundry and I'll come out clean. Scrub me and I'll have a snow white life. Tune me into foot tapping songs. Set these once broken bones to dancing. Don't look too close for blemishes. Give me a clean bill of health. God, make a fresh start in me. Shape a Genesis week from the chaos in my life. This is so beautiful. I hope you understand what's happening here. That the psalmist is saying, shape a Genesis week. And we know the story in Genesis 1 about creation that came out of chaos. And here David prays, shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life. Don't throw me out with the trash, or fail to breathe holiness in me. Bring me back from the grey exile and put a fresh wind in my sails. What a beautiful psalm, Psalm 51. And then 8 verses from the New Testament. From the Gospel according to Luke chapter 18. Jesus told them a story showing that it was necessary for them to pray consistently and never quit. He said, there was once a judge in some city who never gave God a thought and cared nothing for people. A widow in that city kept after him. My rights are being violated. Protect me. He never gave her the time of day. But after this went on and on, he said to himself, I care nothing what God thinks, even less what people think. But because this widow won't quit badgering me, I'd better do something and see that she gets justice. Otherwise, I'm going to end up beaten black and blue by her pounding. Then the master said, do you hear what that judge, corrupt as he is saying? So what makes you think God won't step in and work justice for his chosen people who continue to cry out for help? Won't he stick up for them? I assure you, he will. He will not drag his feet. But how much of that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find on the earth when he returns? May these readings of Scripture speak to all of us today and reveal to us that God loves us deeply with a love that will never, never let us go. Dear friends, some time ago, two men were adrift on a raft in the open sea, and it looked real bad for them. And they tried everything in the book. They were adrift, could do nothing about it. So finally, in the end, one of them got an idea. He was going to pray now, maybe for the first time in his life. Be frightened enough and you pray in the end. And this is how he prayed. I have some pretty bad habits. I drink, I cuss, I steal, I treat people like dirt. But if my life is spared now, I promise you that I'll change and I'll never cuss again. And suddenly his friend came in. He said, whoa, stop, don't promise too much. I think I see a ship coming. Prayers. My friends, but this is a fact that also non-believers find themselves uttering desperate prayers in times of great distress. Then they pray. And they pray. Then they seek. Then they reach out. However, for the believer, for us as followers of Christ, the issue is not how to pray in times of crisis. The issue is prayer as an ongoing part of life. Prayer as my way of being, my way of living. You see, God is real, always there, always within reach. And through prayer, in its many and varied forms, you and I can reach out far, far beyond the barriers of human knowledge and understanding. I sense that through prayer, we touch the face of God. We tune in to the infinite, like King David. At times, through prayer, we learn how to adjust our sinful lives. So, I think I can truly say that prayer brings my wandering life in harmony with God. And it is no secret that the word prayer holds different meanings for different persons. And through our prayers and our talking about prayer, we reveal to ourselves and often to others exactly what we think and what we believe about God. Now, the downside is, and I do believe, that some people carry within themselves a dangerous and for sure a faulty image of a God that they conjure up, a God that acts at impulse, do magic tricks from time to time, and punishes indiscriminately. So therefore, people who think and believe like that, their prayer life becomes a constant battle to deal with this undefined danger in the sky. How do I deal with this danger? And for them, well, they seem to decide that the best they can possibly do is to get to bend the arm of their self-made God to change its mind. What a prayer life. Friends, sickness and tragedy are not punishments. We should never explain them as God's will. Sickness and tragedy are realities and unpleasant facts in life. We live in a world where viruses attack, where wars kill, where tumors grow, where leukemia strikes, where blood vessels wear out and rupture, where drunk drivers kill innocent people. You know, the murderous rampages we hear so often about, committed by psychotics, make sense only in one place, within their own sick minds. Accidents occur. Alcohol distorts. Children playing with guns die. These are the facts of existence. I believe there is no divine plan that we should seek to either know or change, find a way desperately, nor patiently wait for it to unfold. That's neither the way this life is, nor the way I believe God is. If you want to get to know God, you have to look at Jesus, I believe. Jesus always refers to God as a loving, caring God with wideness in God's mercy. So we can say that life is predictable. God is not. God is our God in sunshine and in rain, in sickness and in health. So whether I live or whether I die, I believe that I belong to God who will be by my side, even or maybe especially in times of suffering and death. And I think I've made this one out for myself. I would rather appear before God's throne of mercy than before any earthly court. So Jesus tells his followers to pray even when they are discouraged, even when it seems that they are getting no results. Jesus says, pray always and do not lose heart. And even when things go wrong, even when we do not seem to get the results we had hoped for, even when it seems that our world is crumbling, continue to pray. We receive strength in the face of difficulty when we are able to pray without ceasing. I love what Stanley Jones, the great former missionary to India, wrote. He said, prayer turns up the total life, and I find by actual experiences that I am better or worse as I pray, more or less. If my prayer life sags, my whole life sags with it, and if my prayer life goes up, my life as a whole goes up with it. To fail here is to fail all down the line, and to succeed here is to succeed everywhere. Jesus teaches us to pray, never for God's benefit, always, always for ours. We pray with patience and persistence as we constantly seek to sense God's presence and begin to understand what God wants us to do. Now, when I pray, I believe that that's not entirely enough. God doesn't listen to words alone. God knows me better than I know myself. So I believe that whenever I pray, I believe it's God's will that I must also do my part. It's a contract with two parties. I must also do my part to make things better. And when I say God and me, it is a reference to a winning team. Within the will of God, I can never, never lose. And prayer is also a statement. Prayer indicates my willingness to do my part, to make things better. Therefore, I have to be certain of what I say whenever I pray even the Lord's Prayer. Now friends, I've seen it over many years. I lived through it in different languages, cultures. People are all the same, no difference. They pray the Lord's Prayer without thinking. That's the one prayer you don't have to think. You just say it. Close your eyes and you can just say it. Until you begin to think about the wording of the Lord's Prayer. Until you make the wording of the Lord's Prayer the wording of your heart and your life and your intention. And the moment when I start doing that, it becomes totally impossible to say the Lord's Prayer like a children's rhyme. Something that I just do without thinking. So I have a little idea that at the end, when I'm done, I'm going to invite us to once again pray the Lord's Prayer, if you so feel. Be ready for that. If you think about the wording, I cannot say our if my religion has no room for others and their needs. I cannot say Father if I do not demonstrate a father-child relationship in my daily living. I cannot say who art in heaven if all my interests and pursuits are on earthly things. I cannot say, hallowed be thy name, if I do not strive for holiness within me. I cannot say, thy kingdom come, if I'm unwilling to give up my own sovereignty and accept the righteous reign of God. I cannot say, thy will be done, if I'm unwilling or resentful of having God's will in my life. I cannot say on earth as it is in heaven unless I am truly committed to give myself to God's service on earth. I cannot even say, give us this day our daily bread, without putting honest effort into it or by ignoring the genuine needs of those around me. I cannot say, forgive us our trespasses, so we forgive those who trespass against us, if I continue to harbor a grudge against anyone. I cannot say, lead us not into temptation, if I deliberately choose to remain in a situation where I am likely to be tempted. I cannot say, deliver us from evil, if I'm not prepared to fight in the spiritual realm with the weapon of prayer. I cannot say, thine is the kingdom, if I do not give the king the disciplined obedience of a loyal subject. I cannot say, thine is the power, if I fear what my neighbors may say or do. I cannot say thine is the glory and then continue seeking my own glory first. I cannot say forever if I am too anxious about each day's affairs. And I cannot say amen unless I honestly say, cost what it may, this is my prayer. Shall we now, as God's people, conclude by joining in as we once again pray the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.